With Montana News, I'm Bo Baker. The Montana legislature has ended the 2017 legislative session. The Senate adjourned this morning after waiting for the House to take action on an $80 million infrastructure package and a related rural water system bill. But the House voted to adjourn after twice voting the measure down. Governor Steve Bullock.
It is incomprehensible to me that we walk out of this session again without a general infrastructure bill. I'm disappointed that some legislators put partisan politics over Montana jobs and the strength of our communities.
House Speaker Austin Knutson said his party did what they could to support the state and did authorize some significant spending.
$200 million in infrastructure, true critical infrastructure in the state of Montana. Water projects, sewer, roads, bridges. Those are the kind of infrastructure projects that Republicans can get behind, and we did.
Senate leaders then made farewell speeches before taking their final vote to adjourn. The next scheduled legislative session is in January 2019. The legislature passed a $10.3 billion budget, the first increase of the state's fuel tax in 24 years, and a slate of policy bills from health care to prison and sentencing reforms. Though the $80 million infrastructure bill didn't pass, the legislature did pass more than $200 million in bills that will pay cash for road, bridge, water, and wastewater projects in mostly rural areas. More than 250 bills are still on their way to the governor's desk. As of today, the governor has issued 13 outright vetoes. An appeals court has ruled that U.S. government officials don't have to take immediate action to protect a pine tree that is a source of food for threatened grizzly bears. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals wrote in its order today that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's ability to protect species through the Federal Endangered Species Act is limited by, quote, practical realities, end quote, such as scarce funds and limited staff. The whitebark pine is in decline amid threats of disease, the mountain pine beetle, wildfire, and climate change. The Fish and Wildlife Service in 2011 said that protections for the high elevation tree were warranted but precluded by other priorities. Two conservation groups sued to force the government to immediately list the whitebark pine as an endangered or threatened species. Canada listed the tree as endangered in 2010. A new environmental study says a coal export terminal proposed in southwest Washington would have major impacts on local communities, access to tribal fishing sites, and rail safety. Millennium Bulk Terminals Longview is proposing a terminal along the Columbia River near Longview to handle up to 44 million tons of coal a year. Coal would arrive by train from Montana and Wyoming to be loaded on ships for export to Asia. The review released today by the Department of Ecology in Cowlitz County analyzed 23 environmental issues and found 19 where there were negative impacts. Millennium CEO Bill Chapman called the study a, quote, strong step forward, end quote. The review will be used by agencies in deciding permits required for the project. Today, Glacier Waterton International Peace Park was recognized for its exceptionally dark night skies. Nikki Willett reports.
Lee Rademacher says one of the best parts of his job is hearing people see the Milky Way for the first time.
When it's become dark enough and people's eyes have adjusted, and it kind of goes something like this. Wow, I had no idea.
Rademacher is an interpretive ranger on the east side of Glacier National Park. He runs nightly stargazing programs for tourists.
They're used to just a sprinkling of stars. And here in Glacier, they can see the Milky Way arching overhead. They can see color. They can see dark spots in the sky where the Milky Way is blotted out or obliterated by dust. It's really amazing.
The park's high quality of darkness was recognized this afternoon as Glacier and Waterton together received provisional designation as the first transboundary international dark sky park through the International Dark Sky Association.
Knowing that some of the darkest skies in North America are found in this dark sky park is another way for people to explore the Peace Park.
That's Ivan Thomas, superintendent of Canada's Waterton Lakes National Park, speaking at a celebration for park staff and the partners who helped shepherd this designation into reality over the past decade. The designation recognizes steps both parks have already taken to conserve this nocturnal resource, like offering educational programming and inventorying all lighting fixtures in the parks. John Donovan sits on the board of directors for the Glacier National Park Conservancy, a park partner that has pushed for and funded much of Glacier's night skies programming.
At this point, dark skies have become an endangered species of themselves.
Donovan said the Conservancy is committed to funding future projects. The next step is to replace bulbs and fixtures that are not dark sky friendly. Glacier has already swapped out 29% of non-compliant lights and plans to hit 67% compliance within the next 3 years. Officials expect it will cost around $40,000. In West Glacier, I'm Nikki Ouellette, Montana Public Radio.
With Montana News, I'm Eric Whitney. Montana timber companies are happy that President Trump has slapped new import taxes on Canadian forest products, but backlash is hurting a coal company here. On Wednesday, the Premier of British Columbia asked Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to retaliate against the timber tariffs by shutting down U.S. access to a seaport in Vancouver. That letter caused the stock price of Cloud Peak Energy to drop by 10% yesterday. Cloud Peak runs the Bull Mountain coal mine near Roundup. According to Bloomberg, Bull Mountain is America's biggest exporter of coal that's burned for energy, and it sells more than 90% of its output to Asia. In a conference call with investors yesterday, Cloud Peak CEO Colin Marshall urged Wall Street to relax.
If you read the letter, it was a request, and we don't know of any trains that have been turned back at the border yet. So I think we've got a long way for this one to run.
Marshall says he remains optimistic that Cloud Peak will meet its goal of shipping 5 million tons of Montana coal to Asia in 2017, despite bad weather in the Pacific Northwest the first quarter of this year severely curtailing exports. But investors are clearly worried. Five out of the six who asked questions on the earnings call asked about Cloud Peak's access to the seaport, including how it could affect not only the Bull Mountain mine, but also further development of the Spring Creek mine near Decker.
How can you commit capital to new projects serving the export markets if the right to ship can be taken away on a whim?
Cloud Peak CEO Colin Marshall re-emphasized that so far it's only talk about closing U.S. access to the Canadian port. And he thinks that the U.S. coal market is poised for a rebound as well.
The new administration has clearly brought a completely different approach to the fossil fuel industry and coal in particular. Immediate actions, such as those to halt the stream protection rule, lift the moratorium on federal coal leasing, and suspend the change to coal valuations, are most welcome after years of anti-coal regulations.
Cloud Peak Energy stock closed at $3.37 a share today. That's down about 60 cents from its high on Wednesday. I'm Eric Whitney, Montana Public Radio.